edu, scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about what I believe to be an extremely important subject, an issue that should concern every American citizen. We're talking about the conspiracy to overthrow America. We're talking about the fact that we had a previous president, Barack Hussein Obama, and his vice president at the time, I call him now Auto Pen Biden, and those that were in the highest echelon of those offices like the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, the DNI, etc., those three-letter agencies, I call them thugs with badges. I'm looking at a headline where Tulsi Gabbard says, details this is a treasonous conspiracy directed by President Obama. There must be indictments, no matter how powerful they may be at the time, Gabbard said. As she was interviewed, Obama officials suggesting there was a Russian collusion is to impact the race. They all must be held accountable. We're referring to all of the documents that have been uncovered to the Department of Justice. We've referred them to the Department of Justice and the FBI for criminal referral. Here's what I want us to hear, and then we'll take our next caller. The implications of this are frankly nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that we released on Friday really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed himself by President Obama just weeks after he was due to leave office after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is my point. This article reads, this is an issue that is so serious that it should concern every American citizen because it has to do with the integrity of our republic. We had a sitting president of the United States and his cabinet and leadership, all of the team, quite frankly, who were not happy with the fact that President Trump had won the election. They decided that they would do everything possible to try to undermine his ability to do what voters had elected him to do. So creating this piece of manufactured intelligence that claims that Russia had helped Donald Trump get elected contradicted every other assessment that had been made previously in the months leading up to the election that said exactly the opposite, that Russia had neither the intent nor the capability to hack the election for the presidency of the United States of America, end quote. That's a pretty good summary of all that we see coming about today. And I'm looking at one article. It says U.S. Intel admitted Russia did not hack the 2016 election. Secondly, Obama pushed the Russia hoax to sabotage Trump. 3, the Steele dossier was fake, but James Comey used it anyway. Brennan and Clapper entrenched the hoax deep into the Intel community and punished whistleblowers. Corporate media was used to launder fake government propaganda relentlessly. The Russia probe was an insurrectionist plan to take down President Trump. They knew Russia didn't interfere in the election, yet they fabricated all of the intelligence to justify years-long effort to overthrow Trump. This was a deliberate campaign of treason aimed at removing a legitimately elected president. This treason is now exposed. We now have their names. Now it's time to hold them accountable, this writer says. I believe we have James on the line. James, go with the question or comment, please.
Terrific show, Dr. Youngblood, as usual. I got a little timeline for you and the listeners to consider, and then I wanted to give you my little opinion of what's going on now and what should be done. I agree with Congressman Hill about what punishment is on the table. Treason is punishable by death in America, but will they have the fortitude to do that? Probably not. But I want to come back to that real quick. But first of all, let's try to do a timeline here and ask ourselves where the lions of today have gone off to. Back at the founding of our country, there was a young man named Patrick Henry who had the courage to take a stand against the his simple boldness and his standing up to it, knowing that it was scripturally based, that what they were doing was breaking the word of God, the law of God, how does scripture say it, and when we should know that we are able to give a clear trumpet blast of truth. Any uncertain sound will leave us confused and without confidence, and we will cowardly avoid conflict for all the wrong reasons. Boldness and confidence come from trust when we draw from the original intent of the source. The primary source is not the opinion of law, unconstitutional, it was a fact. He did his homework. It was not heresy, and we all know what happened to him. But as you said about Jan Hus, and this is many, many, many decades later, or centuries later, that Henry, a young man, and as they let him speak in the public square before they hung him, people surrounded it, and a lot of people say his boldness with a rope around his neck is what woke people up. And then let's go to George Washington real quick. Colossians 2:7, one of the things George Washington said is, and a lot of people don't think he was a religious man, but that no people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States of America. And he goes on and on. Start to do a little bit of research and you will be in awe. And that verse in Colossians 2:7, I've been firmly rooted, I think, and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude, always trying to do what God wants you to do. And then real quick, one other one that I love, JFK. I was in a Catholic school when he was assassinated. In 1961, his inaugural address, very important, everybody remembers, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. But the finishing paragraph is very, very telling. Finally, with a good conscience, our only sure reward with history, the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his, capital, his blessing, and his, capital, his help. But knowing that there on earth, God's work must be truly our own. In other words, John 28, he says, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? In our New King James Bible, 628 says, let's say real quick, 628 said, then they said to him, and it's right after the red letters from Jesus, said, most assuredly I tell you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. It goes on to say, then he said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered them and said to them, this is the work of God. You believe in him who sent, whom he sent. So Jesus sent. So as we're following Christ, we're duty bound, I think, to carry out. Ronald Reagan, another wonderful president in my mind, said over and over again, I believe the nation hungers for a spiritual revival. Now, how about that? But we must not deal falsely with our God in this work and thus cause him to withdraw his present help from us. Our forefathers forged a covenant. Our founders laid the foundation. Christ has ever been the true cornerstone. This is Ronald Reagan.
For long years of experience in public life. for new voices.
Thing is absurd. He didn't want to go. He got shoved out kicking and screaming.
Please stand by. We are experiencing technical difficulty at this time. We are working to rectify the problem. We should be back on the air with Dr. Youngblood in just moments.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the interruption. There seems to be a technological demon someplace in the works. But we're talking about today a very serious issue, conspiracy to overthrow America. I'm looking at a headline that says, why did Obama and his allies go to such extreme, possibly even treason, to sabotage Trump before he took office? Because Trump wasn't the political threat. He was a threat to everything that they were hiding. Ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with an issue today that I must say is very, very serious. We have those that were involved, for example, Barack Obama, James Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper, and others, and each of these, ladies and gentlemen, as they have left the areas of government, they're now major anchors and are major, how would you say, talking heads for most of the media. And they're the ones that's coming up with the answers, supposedly, from a political, geographical, geological, et cetera, position. As they talk about it, they are trying to come up with answers telling us what we should do and how we should respond. Just before the interruption with our technology, we're talking with James. James, go ahead with your thought. I apologize for the interruption.
No, that's okay. I agree with you. I think that was the devil trying to interrupt us. Yep. Who did I get to?
You just quoted Ronald Reagan in some of his statements.
Okay. So Ronald Reagan, and did I touch on JFK?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Then I think I'm done. And we talked about Patrick Henry. But what I wanted to remind the listening audience in this, and I'll close with this, is I recently heard Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's definitely, you know, focused on trying to root out corruption, and I think believes that it was treasonous as well, what Obama did. But here's what she said, and this is startling, and this lets us know, as Christians, as believers, that we're called to action. We've got to do whatever we can do and however legally we can do it
Amen.
To let our voice be heard. But here's what she said. She said the problem is with the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party, there may be a lesser percentage of Republicans that are dirty, but they're concerned, and the reason they don't really sound the alarm when proper legal avenues are not followed, like with we said about Adam Schiff lying and committing mortgage fraud, which is a serious crime, according to the FBI. I'm in that industry for almost 40 years, and they have documents in there that every borrower that gets a mortgage signs, it says, warning, the Federal Bureau of Investigation investigates and punishes to the fullest extent of the law mortgage fraud. And they have to agree to that. They understand if you lie on a mortgage application. So we've got Letitia James and Adam Schiff dead to rights, but we hear crickets. Nothing happens. If you and I lied about someone being our wife or husband or what our income was or what we were buying a house for, a second home, vacation home, rental property, we would be in deep, deep trouble. And the general public at large knows that, and we roll our eyes and we tick our thing. But here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene said. She said, unfortunately, a large portion of the Republican Party is guilty, and they're afraid if we push it on the left that they're going to look back at us. And that's shameful. But again, join me at city council and school board meetings. Join me trying to put godly people in charge, people that are going to hold themselves accountable to God's law, not man's law, and do the right thing. And if it's our side as well, the Republican side that has bad people that are doing bad things and whatever these political hacks are that go up there and coerce them and lobby them and give them money for certain things and do this and that, even if it's within the lines of legality, you shouldn't go to Washington and become a multimillionaire. That was not the founding fathers. So there needs to be term limits. There needs to be strict requirements about what politicians can do. They're supposed to be public servants. They're not supposed to be, as my one buddy said, poly means many and ticks means bloodsucker. They're not supposed to be leeches and big smiley shake your hand and have their finger in your purse or your wallet. And that's what we've got. And we've gone complacent because we don't think we can do anything about it. And guess what? If we believe we've lost and we can't do anything about it, as you said so perfectly about Ron Husk, as he was burning at the stake, he said the truth will come out. Eventually, there's going to be an atonement, a resignation to this. And unfortunately, a lot of these people are going to be in a fiery sulfur lake, and that's going to be their eternity. But absolutely, there's time to repent. There's time to repent, and let not me with a plank in my own eye talk about the speck in my neighbor's eye, but let's pull together as believers and do what we know we can do. Can you imagine if... Was JFK perfect? No. He was a womanizer. He was bad. Was Ronald Reagan perfect? No, of course not. Is President Trump perfect? No, absolutely not. But was King David perfect? Did he do good for a while? Was Solomon perfect? Did he do good for a while? I mean, we've got to wake up and realize if there's not apostles and modern-day evangelists and followers that are willing to speak up, stand up, and do the right thing, we are toast. Because as I said a couple of weeks ago, I called in about the Islamic threat. That's going to make pulpits and pastors have to make another choice, and it's going to be a bold choice, hopefully.
Absolutely. James, you're exactly right. You're spot on. One of the things that I am not necessarily fixated on, but I have serious, serious problems with. Let me just read you one paragraph. Documents show that the intelligence community, including the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the DHS, were all directed to prepare new reports detailing tools Moscow used alleging influence in the election. This shift contradicted the December the 8th, 2016 presidential daily briefing stating there was no impact from Russia or their cyber activities on the election at all. According to Tulsi Gabbard, who declassified the records, these actions by Obama-era officials amounted to nothing less than treason and conspiracy intended to undermine America. And that's my question. That's my, issue today. Is if Dr. that? If, go ahead.
Did you hear that President Obama? I've seen something floating around multiple times now. Don't know whether it's true or not. but maybe somebody in a listening audience can confirm or deny this. I heard recently that one of the things Obama did early on in his first administration, and I could be wrong about first or second, but anyway, one of the things he did is reverse an amendment that was done in the 40s. It was like 1948 or 1947 or something, the 40s. And what this amendment said is the government cannot produce or propagate or spread false information, knowingly spread false information. And he reneged that or went against that. I don't know the legal term. He voided that amendment. And so that he could legally go back and tell, basically, live like what I'm saying about the Quran says, to win victory, you can lie. You can lie, cheat, steal, murder, do whatever. And one of the things he did was get rid of the government can lie to its people. And he put that back in force. And I hope somebody will confirm or deny that. I bet Congressman Hill probably knows if that's true or not. But again, who knows nowadays until we know that redemption draws nigh, and we need to keep looking up, and we need to know who our Savior is. None of these politicians are going to save us. But our children's children are going to have to live with what we don't do. And if we don't scream loudly and intelligently, the squeaky educated wheel getting the grease, what of our children are going to be, what is going to come of them? I have a neighbor that I shared some advice about marriage with the other day, and he said, well, how do you get, I said, an 80-some-year-old man told me this years ago about marriage to me. He said, when you engage in a marriage, what you have to realize is it's the best competition you will ever be involved in, and you have to compete to give the best service, the best love, the best encouragement, run to the door to open it for your bride, treat them as though you were in a fine restaurant, and you try as a competition to outserve somebody, because there will be hills and valleys where your relationship grows and it seems like you're distant and this and that. But if that person knows, and he said, Jimmy, they may even think it's a joke in the beginning and say, what are you running for that front door for? Or what are you getting my car door for in a marriage? And because he said, how does your marriage stay together? I said, it's not that we don't have our problems. And he said, well, what was your secret? I said, well, guess what? I didn't come up with it. An 80-some-year-old man, early in my marriage, so over 30 years ago, shared a piece of advice with me. And he said, imagine it as a competition. Well, guess what? Who are going to be the disciples and the apostles and the leader makers in our American society if we don't share great ideas? And one of the best ideas you share every single day about what founders did in biblical history, were they perfect? No. But were they honorable, courageous people that stood up and made a mark? They did something. Psychiatrists say that a C is a significant emotional event. Well, if God can't tug at your heart and shake you into action before you're at the end of a saber and somebody's going to kill you because they chant death to America, it's shameful. It's a shameful death. So we've got to stand up for what we do have that's good in this country, which is a lot, and pray for our leaders, all of them, even the bad ones, to repent. And yes, that's hard, but we answer to Jesus. And he says we're supposed to forgive and pray for them, and I'll do that. But I'll also say that President Trump, God bless you and protect you, but please get your own private security detail, because I, for one, and I'll bet many people in the audience say, I don't trust the Secret Service right now.
Absolutely
not. I don't trust the FBI. I don't trust the CIA. Cash may be good. Dan Bongino may be good. Pam Blondie may be good. But she may not have good people under her because there's still vermin in and around the government.
By the thousands.
Yes, by the thousands.
Yes.
Anyway, I love your show. And keep up the great work.
James, let me touch on one final thing before let you go. With those that were prosecuted in the Trump orbit, those that were harmed, some even went to prison. Some lost their homes, their families, as a result of the prosecutorial cost. Should they be restored? Should the federal government be responsible for repaying them for all of their costs, compensating them for every moment they endured the prosecution that was false prosecution, simply because they were part of the Trump orbit? What are your thoughts on that? My thinking is they need to be we need to go back as a nation, and under the Trump administration, those people need to be made whole. There needs to be a public apology from the federal government, not that Trump was responsible, but the federal government apologizing to them, restoring them their homes, their families, their losses, et cetera, et cetera. What say you?
I say 100%, Almighty God, to him be all the glory. I'm 100% on your team on that. I think that Trump, if he can rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, he can say, look, public servants are called to a higher bar. We are to live better. And the majority of us, unfortunately, have not done that, as evidenced by all these years of my being sued, being impeached, all these various things. And the people that tried to draw close to me and protect me and support me were punished viciously. And I'm going to make them whole, and I'm going to create a new medal or a plaque for them. Because basically they've earned a Purple Heart by way of sacrificing not their lives, but in some cases probably some did die for him. But their homes, their marriages, their sacred fortunes, as our founding fathers said, they stake their sacred fortunes and their livelihoods and their position. And yes, there should be a celebration of bravery. And they're going to be humble. I'm sure they're all going to be humble people and say it was nothing. My conscience would allow me none other, because as somebody once said, a clear conscience is a soft pillow. And I think even evil people at night toss and turn. I just think. There's no rest for them, and there's no filling that void that they're trying to fill, as we all know, other than Jesus.
That's right.
So, yes, they should be 100% made whole.
You make that statement, I go back to my thoughts about Genesis, the 6th chapter, because before the flood, the scripture says, that every day all they did was continually think on doing evil. And that's what we see taking place so often today. And so, James, one of the things that I like to challenge our listeners with, we need to go back, especially as Christians, conservatives, patriots, we need to be the salt and the light that the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ said that we're to be. Salt and light is what's necessary in our society today. And pray for the Trump leadership, that President Trump would be protected, to be given the wisdom, and protect him from, I understand there's about 40 million or something placed on his head by the Iranian Gestapo, if you will, to destroy his life. We need to pray every day that God will sustain him, protect him, and use him. James, thank you so much for your call today and joining in the discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us today. We look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.